Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 66th week of our look at the book of Genesis, and this week we're in chapter 49 as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Genesis 49. We get to this section of Scripture. Wow, it's one of the most fascinating chapters in the book of Genesis. In that there are 12 these sons that have come to Jacob, who is in his dying days. And Jacob gives his final words concerning his sons and the 12 tribes that would descend from them, those boys. And people's last words normally are their most important words. Normally, they're well thought of, and whether you know, if you have the opportunity, and you've heard of stories, people on their deathbeds, their last words to family and things that mean to them, they try to leave something to their family as by the way of encouragement, by the way of direction, or something to those that they're leaving behind. Well, that's what Jacob was doing. He knew that he was about to die. And so, but Jacob's final words to his sons were not just blessings, they were prophetic words that would reveal the future of the nation of Israel as a whole. Now, I find it interesting, I wrote this down, that each son was different. We're going to look at them from beginning at Reuben. Each son was different with different personalities. For you parents who have kids, you can attest to that. Every child is different. I mean, some will make you pull your hair out, and some are just as sweet, you know. And anyway, and I'm not naming names, okay? Grandchildren are the same way. We had a bunch of them over yesterday celebrating Father's Day because I'm leaving after services and to head up north. And anyway, we had most all the kids, if they were here, they were at the house, had a pile of kids there, grandkids and all, and every one of them are different. And God made us that way, by the way. It's a good thing. Wouldn't it be boring if we're all, you know, all alike? If everybody was like JL, this would be a boring place, you know? And so God, and that's the way it was with Jacob's sons. They were all different. And it had different personalities. And by the way, their personalities, and we're going to see, affected their generations to come. Now let that sink in, okay? People call it DNA or whatever. There are some things from your mom and dad, especially dad, that you inherited from grandpa and that's inherited, it's carried on as family traits. Are you following? I'm not going to go into all the details, but there are certain traits in certain families that... Some families are tall. We talked about Steve Tabler. Steve was tall. His kids, Nathaniel and Cassara and Rebecca and Ben, they were all, didn't have no midgets, I should, you know, small people from Steve. Are you following? So you have certain traits from your family, mostly your father. Well, we see that it affected generations. Some for the better, some for the worse. Dad, and today's Father's Day, and I'm going to bring this out in my message this morning. Dad, what you do affects your children and your grandchildren and generations to come. It affects them, okay? Well, we see in verse number 1. Let's read verse number 1 and 2 before Reuben gets into the picture. Jacob called unto his sons. Remember, he's on his deathbed. Literally, he's on his deathbed. An old man, his eye, remember we looked at it last week with Ephraim and Manasseh, his eyes are beginning to grow dim. And who's that with you, you know? Joseph, well, those are my two boys, you know. Anyway, he's near the end of life. And he says, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now, I want you to get the picture. Already, Joseph is there around Jacob's bed with Ephraim and Manasseh. They were already there. Now, whether or not, the Bible does not say whether or not Reuben and Issachar and the rest of them were there when Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. The Bible does not say, but I guarantee they were close by. If they weren't by at the bed, they were there shortly after he did the blessings upon Ephraim and Manasseh. In my mind, I picture all of them gathered like a family. You know how family would gather around a deathbed. Now, whether or not that's the case, I don't know. The Bible does not speak of that. But I can picture them all together, because here in chapter 49, they are all together. Okay, and he starts talking about when he speaks to Reuben. But anyway, Jacob calls his sons to his bedside to pronounce what will befall them in the last days and what God will do in their lives in the generations to follow in those 12 tribes in the future. But notice in verse number 2, when Jacob realized who he was, and I mentioned over the past few weeks that Jacob is sometimes referred to as Jacob, sometimes he's referred to as Israel. Again, you see it here in this one verse that Jacob himself now is referring to himself as Jacob, and then he refers to himself as Israel. I find it very interesting that he says, ye sons of Jacob, he says, you're my son, the sons of Jacob. Remember what the word Jacob means? It means supplanter. It means deceiver. But the picture is what he was. Israel, literally, remember when he wrestled with God, literally it was Jesus, and the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go till you bless me. Well, you remember the story. He finally blessed him, and the Lord said, now you're no longer Jacob. Your name is now Israel. Well, Israel points to his new life. Jacob's the old man, Israel's the new man. And so in this verse, you see Jacob referring to that when he says, ye sons of Jacob, and here unto Israel, your father. Interesting, and I've already mentioned that, but Jacob knew who he was and where he came from. And here he is in his last day or days, and he's in retrospect thinking the goodness of God in his life. And by the way, when people at the end of their life, they tend to do that. I ain't there yet. I still hope God gives me a lot of years, but I hear stories and others as you have a lot of time to think when you're laying there. That's what Jacob had done. Then he addresses Reuben in verses 3 and 4. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Now, by now, Reuben has a big smile on his face, because those are pretty good words. Reuben, you're my firstborn. I mean, I am so proud of you, is literally what he is saying here. And then look in verse number 4. I think Reuben's smile was wiped off his face real quick when he says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Why? What a shock that must have been to Reuben, who was the firstborn. By the way, Reuben had naturally taken his place closest to his father, because that was his place. He's the eldest. So Jacob is looking up, and there's Reuben. Okay? So naturally, that's the first one he speaks to as far as in this setting here. Reuben was once the pride of his father. Matter of fact, the word Reuben literally means behold a son. Behold a son. Wow, I have a son. They named him Reuben. He was proud. What a disappointment Reuben had become. He showed so much promise. Matter of fact, he said, you're my firstborn. You're my might. You're the beginning of my strength. I was so proud of you. The excellency of dignity, excellency of power. You had everything going your direction, but he'd become a disappointment.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.